I want to share a few verses this morning that have one word in them, and that word is, I'm going to say it's consider. So we're going to talk this morning about things to consider, and it is coming because I read one verse in Hebrews chapter 3. The first verse of Hebrews chapter 3 I read over the last couple days, and it just really kind of grabbed me, and so I started looking at other verses along this line. But it says in Hebrews 3, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus." And it says, "Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession." But I was grabbed when it just said, "Consider Jesus." And so I just started to think about that. So what does the word consider mean? In the context of this verb, you can say, I consider myself to be something. That's a different way. But in this case, very simple. To think carefully about. That's what the word consider is in this context. So I'm going to talk about four or five verses that we should think carefully about. And there's many more. But they're just ones as I did a search and was just pondering on some of the ones that I saw. I just wanted to share those with you this morning. So this first one says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession." There's so many things about Jesus that we could consider. But it is interesting when we look at the context. It says, "Therefore." So as a result of what I've just said, let's consider Jesus. So if you look back into chapter 2, in the latter half of chapter 2, what we see is the author talking about Jesus and the way, as it says in verse 10, it says, "For it was fitting for him," for Jesus, "for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author," sorry, I guess it's God the Father, "to perfect the author of their salvation," which was Jesus, "through sufferings." Jesus was perfected through sufferings. Then let's skip down to verse 17. It says, "Therefore he had to be made," Jesus had to be made like his brethren in all things, "that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." So that's the context of why the author says, brothers and sisters, let's consider Jesus. He's able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. He's been perfected through sufferings. I'm going to change the order. I want to go to now another one in Psalm 107, verse 43. So remember this. It's the context of considering Jesus, knowing that we serve a high priest who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet was without sin, and he's able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. And so this is a very interesting verse in Psalm 107, the last verse, I believe it is, of this psalm. Psalm 107, verse 43 starts off with a question: who is wise? Who desires to be wise? Everybody would say, yeah, I want to be wise. I don't want to be foolish, right? Okay, so it's going to say something here to those who desire to be wise. "Let him or her give heed to these things." So these are the things that have been written in this psalm. "And consider the loving kindness of the Lord." Consider how good our God is. So we consider Jesus. We consider Jesus in the sense that he's able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. He's been tempted and tested in all the same ways as we are. And now we can consider his loving kindness. But in considering his loving kindness, I would suggest to you it's very important to read the first 42 verses. And then you get a, because the psalmist is talking about what the loving kindness of the Lord can look like, and it can look like many different things. I'm not going to read all 42 verses that precede this one, but I would encourage you to consider reading the first 42 verses. But I can give you some context. Let's read a few of those verses. Verse 4, "They wandered," speaking of the Israelites, "they wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul. He is filled with good. See how he took care of the Israelites. But here's there are other situations where it talks about, let's keep going, verse 10. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death. Prisoners in misery and chains because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart or their chains apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. And for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has shattered gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron asunder. There's more, but that gives you a picture there. When it says, let us consider the loving kindness of the Lord. The loving kindness of the Lord looked like allowing these people who the psalmist is speaking about, because they had rebelled against the words of the Lord and spurred the counsel of the Most High, he humbled them. And he caused them to experience labor and trials and tests because he had a perfect plan. He had a desire that they would humble their hearts and cry out to him. And so it's interesting when you read the context of what, that's not, I'm not saying that's what the loving kindness of the Lord always looks like, but it is what the Lord desires, is that every person, it says he desires none to perish, but that all would know him, would come to repentance and to know him. And because he loves us that much, it's like a parent. I've had this discussion with my children. My children don't always like it when I discipline them. That's a shock. If you're a child and you're sitting here, you can probably relate. You probably don't relish discipline. And I've had this conversation numerous times with my kids when they are troubled by the fact that I've disciplined them. And would you rather I not discipline you? Yes, that would be my preference. I said, so you would rather you just grow up. Maybe it was lying, whatever it was, and just to be a liar. That's what you would prefer. You'd prefer that I just let you go on and just be a liar. And all of a sudden, it's, well, okay, I'm not sure. So you can see the wheels turning, and maybe that's not what I want. I love you too much to just say, yeah, go do whatever you want. No discipline in this house. I love you too much for that. I'm going to discipline you because I desire that you wouldn't grow up that way, that you would grow up ultimately, obviously, to know the Lord. And that's I bet every parent here will say, I can say this, would desire that each day we're growing more and more into the likeness of our Heavenly Father, and we have that our Heavenly Father's heart for our children, for others, that we can have that same heart. And at times, as it translates into how we deal with our kids, we see the same thing that God does here with us, where he allows us to go through difficult times so that he can draw us to himself again. And let's jump to Haggai, because Haggai talks about a couple of things, and it's a little bit on the same vein, and we're going to end on a positive as well. But these are good warnings as well, things to consider. So Haggai, if you find it before me, let me know. But it's in the Minor Prophets. Oh, there we go. After Zephaniah, before Zechariah. Sandwiched between the Zeds. So we get a consider in verse chapter 1, and we get another one. We get two in chapter 1, and we get another one in chapter 2. So in chapter 1, verse 4, well, let's start. Verse 3, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while the house lies, while this house, speaking of God's temple, lies desolate? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but you harvest little. You eat, and there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. And you put on clothing, but no one is warm enough, and he who earns wages to put in a purse with holes. thus says the Lord of gods, consider your ways. So he's challenging the people of Israel at this time, saying, look at you guys. You got nice houses that you live in. The house of God lies in ruins. But he's just challenging them to think about their lives. And, you know, I don't want anybody to raise their hand, but if you were to just take what I just read, that is, and I'm sure many of you could say, that is my testimony. Like when we were living for the world, that is it. And the reality is, you know, we seek after all these other things, hoping that we'll find something that would satisfy. And for me, I was doing that in the context of, as I've shared many times, I'm doing that in the context of still serving the Lord. And at the same time, I'm really actually not finding my life and satisfaction in the Lord. So I'm trying to find it in other places. And literally, like this, where it says, he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. That, like, was my life. I remember getting literally down to counting change. Because I was funneling it all into everything to the point I could spend every penny literally I had. And why are you doing that? You're hoping you're going to find something that would satisfy. And the Lord is allowing it that none of that satisfies. And he was saying to the Israelites, it's like, you guys, consider your ways. Don't you realize? Don't you see the fact that you pursued all these other things? And yet, it's not satisfying. And yet, like, look at the one thing you haven't pursued. In this case, was a natural thing, was to build the house of God. You haven't done that. The one thing I would, in this case, desire for you to do, to show me that you care about the things I care about. And in the old covenant, you know, was to build the house of the Lord. Well, it was ultimately the old covenant. Still, the Lord's desire was that they would seek him. That's never changed. But this would have been, I think, an outward manifestation of their seeking the Lord. That's often the way that it was. When they made a decision to seek the Lord, they would begin to observe, again, the Passover. You see that with the kings. The outward manifestation of the heart desiring to seek the Lord was that all of a sudden you would see them begin to come back to the word of God, like Josiah when he, and other kings, when they heard the word of the Lord, they would just be like, what? This is crazy. We're not following that. We're not doing that. Let's get serious about doing it again. And so here, I think through Haggai, the Lord was saying, like, if you guys were serious about seeking me, you would build the temple. And if you were really serious about seeking me, you wouldn't have to be spending every penny and going after everything and finding that nothing satisfies. Consider your ways. And I share this, you know, when I think of something to share, you always want to share just the good things. Consider Jesus. And all of this is about considering Jesus ultimately. But you share these things not knowing, because this can be our testimony before we come to the Lord. This can be our testimony as we're walking with the Lord. So let's not forget that there is an enemy who desires to distract us, right? Desires to choke out the word of God so that it won't bear fruit. And I can at least testify to the fact that there are times in my walk with the Lord where I have become blinded in a way to not realize that my heart has started to drift. And God, in his loving kindness, like we read in Psalm 107, he allows difficult times to come and weakness to come because he loves me so much, because of his loving kindness, that I would turn back to him and I would begin to consider my ways and realize, wait a minute, I've lost sight of the one thing that really matters, the one thing that satisfies. As Jason shared, he desires that we would have life and have it abundantly. I've lost sight of that. So he says to them, consider your ways. And then in verse chapter 2, the builders are encouraged. And they're encouraged to build their faith. And praise God, there's one that says, let us consider how to spur on, stimulate one another to love and good deeds. I want to add to that. Let us consider, as we should, how we can build each other's faith, right? Perhaps a brother or sister is going through trials and tests, as many are, and we talk about this. I was even challenged by that this week. Lord, as in the midst of busyness of life, I feel like, oh Lord, I've not been as sensitive probably as I could be to perhaps the needs of brothers and sisters around me, even just to be more thoughtful in prayer for a brother or sister, just to reach out with a phone call or a text. I was challenged by that. Let's consider that. how we can encourage one another, because we see this, we see the challenge here to the Israelites. Hey, consider your ways. But what immediately follows is then Haggai the prophet starts to encourage them and build their faith. He doesn't just bring the rebuke, but he brings the encouragement, right? And that's, let's consider how we can do that. Perhaps there's some in our midst who are here and they're thinking, man, I'm feeling weak in faith, feeling tried. Maybe the enemy's just beating you down with thoughts. God is here to say, hey, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. He's been tempted as you've been tempted. He knows what it's like. And I would say, in considering Jesus, that Jesus is calling out to you saying, hey, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you look at what follows after, consider Jesus in Hebrews chapter 3. And the reason I originally went to that passage, it's about faith. It's about not being unbelieving, but rather to be believing. If you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, I feel weak. I feel discouraged. I feel like my faith isn't there. Or you're questioning, I don't know. Like, it seems so, whether God loves me. Who knows what lies the enemy's put in your mind. But I would encourage you, consider Jesus. And if you need to humble yourself and repent and just say, Lord, I've been unbelieving. I've listened to the lies of the enemy. Then I encourage you this morning to do that and just come, because he's longing. He's like that father waiting to see that child. Say, yeah, just come running back. Perhaps he's sitting there saying, in my loving kindness, I've allowed difficult times to come so that you could see, hey, I have more I want for you. This is not the abundant life that I desire for you. And in my loving kindness, I've allowed trials and tests and difficult times to come because I have something so much greater for you. So we see here Haggai begins to build their faith and say, hey, and he says in verse 9, the latter glory of this house will be greater, because there's some there who were looking at this, who perhaps had seen what it used to look like. They had seen the old temple, and then they were weeping, they were upset. And he said, hey, I think he was sort of, in this case, you almost get this mix of the old and the new because of covenants. It's like, at the end of the day, he says, the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former. Because in the end, ultimately, that physical building didn't matter. Really, in our own lives, like the latter glory, we could feel like we've failed. We can feel all these things. But in the end, the latter glory of God's work in your life can be so much greater. Think of Peter and all the ways that he failed. Why? So that God could use him. The kids and I have been reading Acts. You know, in the first days, weeks after Pentecost, like 5,000 are added to their number, mostly through the mouth of a man who had just denied even knowing Jesus Christ. And I'm sure if you'd asked him in that moment after denying Jesus, said, hey, you know that in like 7 weeks you're going to start to preach and like 5,000 people are going to come to know the Lord, he would have said, like, there's no way. There is no way that that's going to happen. And so whatever trial or test you're going through, the enemy has you beat down. It's on my heart this morning, consider Jesus. That same Jesus that met Peter on the seashore and just said, hey, he's just calling out. Consider Jesus, that one. And so we see here another encouragement at the end of chapter 2. I want to read in verse 18 and 19. Do consider this. Do consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded. Consider, is the seed still in the barn? Even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree, it has not borne fruit yet. From this day on, I will bless you. Right? This is obviously Old Covenant, but if we relate this, or Old Testament, and the story of a natural story of them, but the Lord is saying through Haggai is, consider this. You know what? It has been a difficult road. And you've sown much and you've harvested nothing or little. But consider this. From the day you turn and make a decision to say, you know what? I'm going to build the temple. I'm going to focus on, I want to seek the Lord. I'm going to seek him first. I'm going to guard my heart against distraction and other things and getting carried away. from this day on, he says, I will bless you. So I just encourage you with that. And I want to do one last one, which is going to seem very strange, but let's go there. Very strange. I'll close with this, and then Greg will come up. Psalm 47, I think. Psalm 48, sorry. This one's just to keep you on your toes. 48 verse 12 says, walk about Zion and go around her, count her towers, consider her ramparts. Go through her palaces and tell that you may tell it to the next generation. So we're to consider the ramparts of Zion. I really like this one. There's probably many ways you could take this, but as I thought about it this morning and what really kind of is the fact that it says that you may tell it to the next generation. So I think about this, and I have a passage in the New Testament that comes to my mind, but I think about as a parent, but as a brother or sister in the Lord, we can think about this as we say, what does it mean to consider? It says that we've not come to a physical place. We've come to the heavenly Jerusalem, it says in Hebrews. And when I think of considering Zion and considering her ramparts, what I consider is, what is it like to know the Lord and to walk with him? And consider, it says, Paul said, and this is the passage I would leave you with, and when he says to the Ephesians, two times in his letter to the Ephesians, he talks about what he desires. So in Ephesians 1, I'm just going to read these just in the interest of time. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards those who believe, toward us who believe. When we consider what it's like to know the Lord, considering our walking with him, that we would live that out in a way and be ready to tell. It says, always being ready to make a defense. What does that verse say? Always being ready to, of the hope. The hope. Thank you. I'm seeing people mouth hope at me. To people to be able to say, you know, the question is, would we stand here and say, you know what, it is good to serve the Lord. We need to be in that place. We need to be in a place where we can say, you know what, it is good to serve the Lord. If we can't stand here today and say it's good to serve the Lord, then we can say, Lord, maybe that's a litmus test. Lord, I need to get right with you because I want to be able to genuinely say that from my heart. I could tell people what it's like to know the Lord, to walk with him every day, to have someone that I can run to when I'm afraid or when I'm going through a trial, to know a peace that passes all understanding, to know the fruit of the Spirit, to know all of those things, to know the abundant life. This is what comes to my mind when I read a psalm that talks about the beauty of Jerusalem and considering how amazing Jerusalem is. I believe in the new covenant. That's really talking about what it's like to know the Lord, and that we would tell that to the next generation, to our children, that they would see it in us, but that I would be able to testify. And this is something that it's a challenge as I am as a father of young children. Lord, what does it look like to do Bible time and to teach them the ways of the Lord? And I'm seeking to learn that and to walk that out. But I want to do that. And at the same time, I want them to see in my life, as each of us as parents, I'm sure does, to see, it's like, wow, to be able to say, if somebody said, what is most important in your parents' life? To be able to say, I know it's Jesus. I know that that's the number one thing, and they tell me how good it is to serve the Lord. And let's be that. And so later in Ephesians, then Paul says again to them, he says again, there's things that Paul prayed. He prayed that they would know the hope of the calling, the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. And again, he talks about it at the end of chapter 3. This is a familiar passage. He says again, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. Think about this in the context of meditating on Jerusalem. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask, think, or think according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I just encourage you this morning to consider Jesus, to know he's there, he's been through the things that you're going through, and the other things that we've talked about. Perhaps you're going through difficult times. Consider your ways. Can say, hey, Lord, are you trying to show me something? And that we would not get distracted, but we would have ensure that he has first place in our life. And to consider, too, how good it is to know the Lord and to walk with him.